This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Just call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Or visit Dell.com/business deals for semi-annual savings.
Become a 92.9 FM ESPN Locker Room Club member now. Sign up on our homepage at 92.9ESPN.com.
When you compare the Humana Gold Plus HMO plan with other plans, there's no comparison. That's because it's Tennessee's only 5 out of 5-star CMS-rated Medicare Advantage HMO plan. The only one. No other Medicare Advantage HMO plan in Tennessee received excellent ratings from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services in all 5 categories, including managing chronic conditions, helping members stay healthy, and providing a great member experience. And there's no need to wait. You can switch out of your current plan and enroll in the Humana Gold Plus HMO H4661 anytime you want. Like right now, for instance. Find out why this Humana plan has no comparison. And make the switch by calling a licensed Humana sales agent at 1-800-526-5339 or visiting Humana.com. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO organization with a Medicare contract. Every year, Medicare evaluates plans based on a 5-star rating system. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
We're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're happy.
It's Jason and John on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Presented live and locally by the Wing Guru. The Wing Guru.
Hey, who that, man, this what you been waiting for? I mean, the game was all bad just a week ago. Rappers was listening, I ain't hating, no, because now I'm getting hot enough to want to stay at home. And she can't tell the difference. I've been through hell conditions, wishing for air conditioning, feeling God was never listening. Now I'm on television. And did I fail to mention? Your girl is out of missionary, boy, you failed the mission. Speaking of positions, just witness how I elevated. Real if you celebrate it, finger poke whoever hated. My life accelerated, but had to wait my turn. Then I redecorated. That means my table turned. Live life, might as well. Only way to learn is try and fail. Clientele, the only way to earn. So if you're selling, or if you're selling rap, make sure it's mean so the fiends keep on selling back. Who that? I got that flame. Who that? I got that flame. Who that? I got that flame. So don't worry about my name. I got a flame.
All right, you're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Welcome to Monday. My goodness, there was plenty of football news this weekend. John Martin, my friend. How'd you like the performance of one team named the Tennessee Titans, brother? How did that look to you? The team that was going to go 1-3 through the first 4. How did that one look to you, John Martin? Welcome him to the program now. How them Titans look, brother?
They look good.
How them Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott, a team that you said had no chance at the playoffs this year, even with Zeke signed, how did they look to you against a scrub Giants team, brother?
They looked good.
And one more thing. One more very important thing. How do them trash Raiders look to you right now after Antonio Brown just used you up?
They look silly. They look silly.
So are you okay today? I'm going to stop with all that and be a caring.
Yes.
A caring co-host, a brother. Are you okay? All of your takes over the weekend got hammered. No, Rams.
Well, I appreciate you keeping me in check.
I got the receipts right here, brother. Ain't the Falcons supposed to do something this year? According to John Martin? Man, sick to spring recruiting.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, goodness gracious. I had the worst weekend in a long time.
No, I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry.
I had the worst weekend in terms of...
Well, you're here. You're live, right?
I mean, yeah, on a personal level, I'm fine. Like, on a,
right.
Like, you know,
you're
like
living. You're living. You're going to get through it.
I'm married and, you know, everybody's healthy and whatever.
Got some
you know,
good
so,
hair.
I got some good blonde hair. But on a from a sports perspective,
yep.
You know, the stuff that doesn't really matter, but yep. Stuff that we act like matters every day for 3 hours, it was absolutely bloody.
Mm.
It was a bloody – it was maybe the worst weekend I have ever had in terms of prognostications and in terms of opinions. But I will also say this.
The first step is acknowledgement, so that's good.
It's 1 week, and there are 15 of them left. And a lot of things can change. A lot of things can happen. I want to remind you that Tyrod Taylor in week one last year was the starter in Cleveland. And then you know what happened? Baker Mayfield came along, and he lit the world on fire last year. Now, he sucks, apparently, this year.
Titans just lit him up.
But I think what's happened in Cleveland is they have completely let the press get to their head.
Mm.
I think they have totally, you know, they are smelling their own ish.
There's plenty of time to dissect and determine what's going on with Cleveland. Right now, we're just on you and what's going on with you.
Yeah, well, I'm okay, but yes, there's a lot to get to today on the show. We will break down everything piece by piece since you enjoyed just. I know a lot of you out there are like, yeah, make him miserable. And I know you guys enjoy it. I know it's something that you all, you know, that's fine. Like, that's part of the gig. You know, I understand.
Yeah,
that.
Is this just the same dude who came in here on Friday talking about some green and yellow?
No, I understand that.
Is this the same dude?
I got to take it. I'm willing to face it. I'm willing to answer for it.
All right.
And I'm not going to try to spin it or anything like that. I'm just going to embrace it. I'm going to take it on the chin. That's what real men do. Right? That's what real Christian men of God do. And so I'm going to do that here momentarily. Here's what we have going on the show today. At 11:25, Barrett Jones is going to join us. He won a few national championships at Alabama. You know him.
Speaking of good men.
Yes, good Christian man. He's going to join us at 11:25. We will talk to him. Did you see the way Phil Fulmer was looking at Jeremy Pruitt in that press conference? Did you see?
Was it laser beam?
I think he was looking at Jeremy Pruitt, the way that I sometimes look at you when I look through you, and I have like my eye kind of drifts.
When that crazy eye is doing its
thing. Yeah, except I think all Phil Fulmer could think about was like, what's he going to call on 3rd and 10?
Mm-hmm.
Like he can't wait to put a headset on again.
I watched that entire Tennessee BYU game with a Vols fan, and just to sort of watch him go through the roller coaster of emotions. It's gone to the point now, John, where I'm still laughing a little bit. But I've gone from laughing out loud and laughing in his face to almost feeling sorry for him. Yeah, you watch a Lausanne product, the Memphian, Eric Gray up there running that ball for them.
Running it
you
well.
Understand? Running that ball well as
no
a true
doubt.
Freshman, right? They got some Memphis talent up there that you end up. I mean, Eric Gray carried himself so well, broke all the records at Lausanne State of touchdown career record. And you sit there, you want to. They've got some good. Jawan Johnson's a good player. My gosh, they've got some talent. And you just look up, and all of a sudden you're seeing a play you thought you'd never see. BYU getting down the field there late, getting that long pass so they can tie it. And you just go see a man come from almost, you know, almost saying, okay, we're going to get through this to, no, you didn't get through it at all.
Yeah.
And it's still just a storm of mess over there in Knoxville. No
all right.
question.
So, Barrett
hopefully
Jones.
Hopefully nothing burned or sunk this time.
No, not yet.
Not this week.
Not yet, yeah. But it will again soon. Barrett Jones is going to join us at 11:25. Jason Fitz will join us at 12:25. We will talk to him about everything that happened over the weekend in the NFL. Week one underway. All that and more with Jason Fitz at 12:25. And then at 1:25, Brett McMurphy will join us. We will continue the college football conversation with him at 1:25. So that is the show today. If you want to fire him at me, I will answer for them as best I can. I will tell you this. I will not refer to number 84 by his name on the show ever again. I will never, ever. I just don't. I can't do it.
Oh, because you're so burned?
From now on, here to four, Jason, I will refer to number 84 as number 84 or tumor because he is a cancer. He is a cancer unlike the NFL has ever seen. And the idea that people think he is going to walk into Foxborough and be the Manchurian candidate, right, like Nick Wright said, I think it's absolutely ridiculous. You know, the idea that people have already basically got him on the books for New England in 2020 are insane. It's like they have not paid attention to anything Toomer has done in the last 2 to 3 months. I mean, the guy, I think, is losing his mind. And you know what? I was a fan of him. I was a fan of him.
Oh, we know. We saw the shirts.
I was a fan of him before all of this. But I really believe that never in the history of the NFL, not T.O., not Chad Ochocinco, not Joe Horn. I mean, that those guys look like great citizens. Mm-hmm. I don't think the NFL has ever seen a player as individually dramatic and ridiculous as Toomer. I don't think it's ever been seen before in the NFL in terms of non-legal drama, by the way. I'm not saying like legal stuff because we certainly got a long list for that.
That was some rant, John. All targeted, I noticed, at Antonio Brown.
Toomer.
And none of it for your own circus of a front office and a coach.
Toomer.
You understand? I don't see any of that. Where's the reflection? Some of us told you don't mess with that mess beforehand, that you were asking for it.
He was not.
What's the worst part of this for you, personally? That he called Mike Mayock a cracker?
No, that's not the worst part.
That you didn't see him suit up in the preseason and you won't see it in the regular season Raider?
That's a big part of it.
Or that it's the New England Patriots who have swooped in.
That it's the New England Patriots.
And you know he's going to fall in line.
And that people act like Oakland did not do absolutely everything they could to accommodate this clown. I mean, they went above and beyond what any other NFL franchise would do. And this dude gets on YouTube on Friday night like the clown that he is.
Quit giving him everything he wants.
And starts acting like he's a victim.
Dude, have some you-know-whats and suspend the man.
Well, that's what should have happened. That way he wouldn't have. That's the other part. I wish Oakland. I know they
y'all gave him everything he wanted the entire way through. You treat him like he's the best thing in the NFL, and you expect to be treated differently? Oh, all of a sudden, because of the way you treat him. He lied to you all the way through about being there, about being accountable, about all of it. Well, and where did y'all ever draw the line? Hell, he's going to call Mayock a cracker. Y'all going to let him come right back and play?
Well, I agree. There was clearly nothing that Antonio Brown could do that was going to get him suspended by the Raiders.
The video, the voice, the Gruden thing was amusing to Gruden. Going to let him play.
Unacceptable to
me. Going to let him play.
It is unacceptable to me that this guy was going to apologize on Friday in front of the team captains and then the same night release. I mean, again, a very well-produced, produced video, but still, like, to do that, it's just mind-boggling.
You can
the audacity of Toomer, you know, to do this.
He's been a complete fool with this. There's no question about it. Now you wonder how much of it at the end there was him being a fool, acting crazy for a reason to get
at
out
the end,
and to get where he wanted
at
to.
The end,
right? Because he had Rosenhaus working behind the scenes for
at
him,
the end,
making
yes.
sure that he's got a landing spot. You ain't saying release me until you know you got a landing spot.
Agreed.
You know, he ain't that crazy.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying? But for you to sit here and be only mad at him, and again, I get being the back and forth. You felt like you'd been there the whole time. I get being but you should be just as disappointed with the way your organization handled all this mess.
I can't be mad at the Raiders for going out and getting him. It was just a third and a fifth, and at that time,
y'all pandered to this dude. It's unbelievable.
Excuse me, Toomer, at that point had not displayed that kind of behavior. Like he had ripped apart the Steelers, but you could at least just say, well, that's just between him and Big Ben. He needs a change of scenery. You know, we're gonna give him that. It's gonna go well. And all they have to do is spend a third and a fifth, whatever. I think what they could have done and what they should have done is, you know, after it becomes clear that this guy does not want to be a part of the organization, you don't give him what he wants. You don't just cut him,
no,
right?
Because you got used.
Especially you're facilitating, you know what I mean, a great, if not absolutely out of his mind, wide receiver to, you know, the Super Bowl champion. You know, why do we keep doing this? We do this every time.
John, who Pittsburgh wouldn't trade him to? Because you're not going to give Antonio Brown to the Patriots.
And this is the second time we've
better.
Done it. That's why.
And make them better.
We did this with Randy Moss in 2005, and now we're doing it again 15 years later.
Your team. Exactly. That's what I'm pointing at to you for you.
It's like when the Grizzlies traded Powell to the Lakers, you know? It's like that's why Greg Popovich came out and said this is absolutely absurd.
It wasn't just
absurd.
Him, right? All of them thought that.
You know, now it ended up that Marc Gasol was better,
absolutely.
You know, than people thought he would. But at the same time, it's still like facilitating, you know, a ready-made contender, and it's infuriating. So yeah, no, I honestly, I really root for him to
You know, I'm
don't
not,
say it's something
not
ridiculous.
Get hurt, not get hurt. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I root for him to explode and get cut. I definitely do. I root for that to happen because I don't think we've ever seen a player in the NFL as unprofessional as as Toomer has been the last 2 to 3 weeks.
I'll give you all that. I'll give you all that because he's been crazy with it. There's no question about it. But I don't, John. Everybody out here on the outside looking in believes, knowing the Patriot way, that he's going to fall in line. You don't?
No. I think this is a guy.
You think you can tell Brady I need more targets on a team right there that is all about feeding everybody?
It's all good at the beginning. It always is.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like he goes to Derek Carr's house and he, you know, man, what's up, bro? Love you, bro. You know, everything's good at the beginning. And then the slightest.
That's John Gruden and Derek Carr. Understand
well, yes,
what I'm saying?
Yes.
This is Belichick and Tom Brady.
Agreed.
Understand what I'm saying? I know he knows there's a difference.
Antonio Brown has shown us year after year after year is that it is all about him. That's it.
Yeah.
He thinks he is bigger than every team in the NFL. And I don't really expect that to change in New England. I think this is going to be one of those. Think about it. It didn't work for Chad Ochocinco in New England. Like, there have been instances where it has not
worked. It did for Randy Moss, though.
Yeah, it did for Randy Moss.
Absolutely.
There's no question about that in a major way. But even Randy Moss, I don't think, was as selfish as number 84.
Ocho was over the hill.
Yes,
you give
he
me
was.
That?
Yes,
physically.
Yes, he was. He was.
He was done. Again, because Antonio Brown knows that the way this is played has looked crazy, right? Because he's going to a place where none of us think it'll be accepted, John, I can't see him putting the rest of his career right on the line.
Yeah.
Look, you could say he's already done that. He's already risked some of it. He's thrown a lot of money away. There's no question about that with the antics in Oakland.
Yes.
But you cannot tell me that he's going to go that you and I both think that with all this that's in, you know, at play right now, he's going to go out there, risk being a fool in New England this year, right, and risk having that mark on him for the rest of his career.
Now, I know
and
that,
not being able to make up some of that money that he's already lost with the Raiders.
I know
you're
there
crazy
were
crazy if you don't think he falls in line with them
I know,
this year.
I know there were some other bad takes that you want to get to. But here's perhaps I think the most infuriating thing for me about this entire ordeal. It's that I'm never going to get to see 84 play in a Raiders uniform.
I knew that was a big part of it. It's probably the biggest.
It's the fact that he's going to New England, which is just absolutely annoying
for you all to trade him to New England
Or just let him go, like, basically.
We
didn't get anything.
You knew what was happening.
And then thirdly, though, here's the most infuriating part. People act as though when he's in Oakland, he's a clown, he's this, he's that, I can't believe he's doing this. When he goes to New England, though, he's a genius. He's a genius for orchestrating and calculating this long con. This is a man who stepped into a cryo chamber barefoot, okay? And we're going to sit here and act as if he's, devised this long 6-month plan of getting his way out of Oakland and landing in zero chance. This dude got into a cryo chamber barefoot. He's not that smart.
No, I've never thought of it, he was a super brainiac here that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
But I also know, too, that at the end, that was certainly orchestrated.
At the end, yes. After the apology and the calling Mike Mayock a cracker, there's no question that number 84 was working his way out of Oakland. I agree.
With the video and all
I
that?
Agree. I think what should happen, and I read this today from Mike Sando, and I think you and I agree on it, you should have suspended this dude and kept him away from your team, right? Kept him away from your team and kept him from playing for somebody else.
Absolutely.
Because
that's how you
penalize Antonio Brown.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
You take the control out of his hands, which clearly you did not do in this case. By the end, he's trying to get released, and he gets to go where he wants to for the most part.
It was an awful weekend for me, man. My last 30 tweets are about Toomer. All I've been able to think about. I cannot stand. I have never actively rooted against a player.
Forgiveness, John, is divine.
No, to hell with that.
It's divine.
To hell with
Antonio Brown hadn't murdered anyone.
Did you see the tweet?
You should be able to get over it.
Did you see the tweet that he liked about Mike Mayock?
No.
You didn't see it? I mean, I can't believe this guy has not been, the NFL has not.
Forgiveness is divine.
He liked a tweet that reads as follows. It's a picture of Mike Mayock, okay?
Yep.
And this is the text. The most stupidest human popsicle on the planet. He should never have been hired as a GM. I hope Antonio Brown win his money in arbitration. Then everyone would know Mike Mayock is a true prejudice a-hole. He should be bleeped in the bleep, then fired. AB liked that post. This guy he's lost it. He has lost it.
Mm-hmm. He's going to show you how crazy he is in New England. Not say a peep. Get him a Super Bowl.
I don't think so. I don't think this guy has the capacity to do it upstairs.
If you allow this to stay under your skin like that, John, you don't forgive that man. It's going to continue to consume you.
As if he practices with Derek Carr, and all of a sudden he's like, God, this ain't what I thought it was going to be. Man, please, you didn't play a single game. You didn't come to any training camp. Miss me with that.
He's your enemy now?
Enemy of the state, man.
You're supposed to pray for your enemies.
I don't, man. I pray that...
You're not going to pray for this man?
No, I'm not going to pray for that man.
You're going to have to answer for that one day.
I'm going to pray for myself. You got to get over it. For my weekend that I had.
That's selfish.
All I can hear this weekend is that damn song, that sad song, that Hello Darkness, My Old Friend. Because every NFL opinion I had this weekend was just shot to hell.
You couldn't hear Marcus Mariota laughing from Cleveland? You couldn't hear him laughing at you from Cleveland? John, all he did was have a QB rating of 133. That's good, as you know.
That is pretty good.
I guess which one you're more shocked by? This and how well they played, or how good Dak Prescott looked?
I would say I'm way, like 200 times more shocked about the result in Cleveland.
Because of Dallas's opponent.
Yes. Yes. I mean, Dallas has got to be able to beat up on the Giants.
Couldn't you sort of see this coming with the Browns, though? Wasn't I sitting here and telling you the whole time I still think Pittsburgh, and even with the beatdown of the Pats, a Pats team that owns them last night, wasn't I sitting here telling you that they're going to be the ones that sort of come through in that North? Because there's been too much talk about that Cleveland team, and I'm not sure the Kitchens, their first-year coach that was basically a coordinator last year, right?
Yep.
Who knows if he can really handle this, especially a team with so many stars. I'm telling you, man, they look ripe for a fall.
I agree.
Or at least not living up to the great expectations that have been out there and surrounding that football team.
They do not look like a ready football team.
They kind of looked like I thought they might coming out. Now, when we're sitting here and going down, you're telling me how the Titans aren't going to be anything. It was last week, and we're going through the first four games. You're telling me they're going to go 1-3. We both sat here and assumed that they were going to lose the first one. But when I brought it up to you, well, I don't know, Cleveland, they still got to go out and prove it. Man, you looked at me like I was crazy.
Well,
and what did they do? John, they just ran Derrick Henry down their throat. That defense that you don't want to give any credit was good. What, got to Mayfield five times, picked him off three times.
Yep.
And look, I'm not ready to put him in the Super Bowl yet. I'm not going to do that. But it was everything I had sat here and told you about them. You were underestimating them. Delanie Walker told you won't crown Cleveland, go right ahead. But what'd he do? He comes back, catch two touchdowns. They looked solid enough to win that division. And you saw what happened in Jacksonville.
Cleveland is a mess. You got the offensive lineman kicking.
Yeah, yeah. I could go on and on about Cleveland. You got a player out there with a $350,000 watch on, right, and is out there wearing matching earrings with his best buddy wide receiver from LSU. You understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
They're more concerned right now about look than actually lining up and playing football. And who knows if Kitchens can get him back in that right football frame of mind. They want to look good first.
Yep.
But I'm going back to the Titans, John, because everything I told you about why this team could win a wide-open AFC South, they showed against the Cleveland Browns, a game that was on the road. And I know penalties, 18 for 180 yards is ridiculous what Cleveland did.
Yeah, no team's going to win.
You have got to give the Titans credit for going up there and winning like they did on
Sunday. There's no denying that. Now, here's what we know about the Titans, though. They can win games like this, and then they lose games they're supposed to win.
They have done that in the past.
So I think the real test for them is next week. I think the real test for them is next week against Indianapolis, who I think...
Man, they had a chance against the Chargers, who I told you to take.
Looked better than people thought, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Marlon Mack, ran for whatever, 170 yards or something like that,
If they'd have gotten the ball in overtime, they might have, if they could have stopped San Diego from scoring a touchdown.
When you want to start talking about, and we'll see what happens tonight with the Texans, I'm assuming that they will lose the opener tonight against the Saints. But if you want to really start talking about the Titans as a division... as a potential division champion, they have to win next week. When they win next week, that's when you can really start to talk about it.
Stop acting like, even if they have a letdown next week, John, which we know they're prone, they do. That's a great point you make about winning a big one and then coming down and having a letdown. Don't act like Nick Foles ain't out until at least week 11.
Well, that's
don't
true.
Act like Jacksonville's season didn't just end yesterday.
Yeah.
In terms of them winning the division.
That does help.
You just had one of those teams go down. And now, to your point, this is a Colts team they should absolutely beat. I'm with you on that. If you're gonna look like it, right, And Delaney's, you know, he's been straight up about this the whole way through, that we're a contender, you know, in our division. If you, then you need to go out and beat a team that's got Jacoby Brissett leading it. Although, to the point, they look pretty – they're better than a four-win team.
They have
no question.
Football players
exactly,
on that team.
Exactly. They had improved around Luck. There's that offensive line's good, all that said. Titans, though, just like I've been telling you coming into this thing, John, I damn near put them the favorite. If not for Houston making that move with Tunsil, you know, I like Deshaun Watson just in terms of his go out and win it, a leader, you know,
if the Texans find a way to win tonight, you can't say the
Titans. But how are you going to tell me that the Titans ain't the favorite if the Texans come out here and play? But everything around them is crumbling
after
in that division.
There is no question about it. After week with no Andrew Luck, with no Nick Foles, I mean, bodies are dropping, man. At some point, the Titans have to be there to take it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, so yes, but it was. To me, it was the most impressive victory of the weekend in the NFL. I mean, and they destroyed Cleveland.
43-13, they absolutely
I mean,
did.
Cleveland was the preseason darlings, and the Titans came in there. And this wasn't like a 20-17 win, right, like the Titans get. This was a
on
demolition.
On the road, went to their place and just
this was an absolute demolition.
Absolutely.
So I give the Titans full credit for that, but I got to see it next week before I start really, like, talking about, okay, they're going to actually go out and win the
game. Now you want to see them beat a luckless Colts team. And
yes.
That's going to be the hinge of the season.
If they do, then I will say, absolutely, they should win the division.
If that's your take, then I know what your take on Dak Prescott playing the Giants and throw for over 400 yards yesterday and looking really good. With Cobb? Did you see Cobb?
Yes, I did.
Did you see how important he could be?
Yes.
Brad, you let him talk you out of Gallup, who looked fantastic.
I dropped him on
by
my
the way.
Team.
You didn't drop him. You just didn't bench.
You let John talk you in to not playing him.
I took him out of my starting lineup.
Yeah, you did.
He looks like he's about to make huge strides in year two.
I need to stop listening to John.
Well, you put Alshon Jeffery in, though, and he had a good – I think they basically had the same game.
Man, got old Jason Witten back out there catching touchdowns.
Yes, that is impressive.
Too many weapons, John.
Now, if they weren't going to beat the Giants in week one at home, what were they going to do?
Oh, I know. If we're going to hear the Titans have got to beat the Colts before I start taking them seriously, then I know where we're going to hear it about Dak Prescott and having to do that to a team other than the Giants. But, John, that we talked about, their first three are, you know, if he does it against Washington, it'll be expected. Yes. If he does it against Miami, it'll be expected. It'll have to come win, John, when he goes to the Saints, I guess, week four, whatever their fourth game is.
Yeah, I mean.
Before it looks good to you.
I mean, is that not fair? Is it not? I mean, they play the freaking Dolphins, and the Redskins and the Dolphins.
I know it was the Giants, John, but they were clicking on all cylinders. You saw every bit of why that team with Ezekiel Elliott is a Super Bowl contender.
$40 million quarterback.
I'm just
I don't
not,
know about all that, bro.
I'm just
the
not.
The price is going up.
No, I mean, he's earning it, and he's done it the right way.
Whoop,
he didn't hold out. Whoop. All he's doing, throwing touchdowns.
Just like I don't think the Bears' offense is as bad as they looked against the Packers in week one. Like, I think we have to be willing to sort of sit back. You know, and I mean, especially I think another part of why you're seeing some of these teams struggle is because the preseason. These teams did not play their starters. So this is basically still the preseason. You know, so I think we really won't get a full picture of the NFL until week four. That's when we can really start deciding and deciphering whether I was right or wrong because of the preseason. And that's why they're changing it, Jason. That's why they're shortening it, obviously, because you don't even know how much stock to put in the results, obviously.
John.
Oh, my Lord.
You sound like Clay Travis after a ball's lost today. That's what you sound like. You don't want to take any accountability.
I mean, the Seahawks beat the Bengals by 1 point.
Nope. You don't want to give anybody any real credit.
Nope.
It's all smoke credit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Gardner Minshew came out there and torched the Chiefs. I mean, is he the starter? You know, I mean, is he the offensive player of the year?
They're gonna have to go sign somebody, John. Obviously,
they brought in Josh Dobbs.
Dobbs.
Jacksonville traded for Josh
Dobbs.
That's
my alopecia areata, brother.
I don't know. Do you think he'll start? I mean, they gave him a fifth rounder. I'm assuming I guess they'll work it out in practice.
I didn't watch that KC game.
Yeah.
Y'all, everybody was telling me how good that I can't even pronounce his name. How good he was. So
Gardner Minshew.
I know that Dobbs is thought about as one of the best backups in the league.
Yes.
He's gaining the respect of his peers.
It's always good to be considered the best backup in the league. You know, like you never play. It's always just like you're awesome. The backup quarterback is always
well,
awesome.
The best backup right now might be Daniel Jones, quite frankly.
He might be. But like I said, man, like, I
Ty Hill's out too.
I can't get too high with the high, and I can't get too low with the low, man. Like, it's week one.
You can't give any real credit where it's due.
Because what's going to happen next week when the Titans lose to Indianapolis?
And you won't criticize your own organization. It's very possible, John. That's why I'm not going to just laugh that off. it's very possible that that could happen.
Okay.
But a man who won't criticize his own organization for the way they handled this Antonio Brown.
The Raiders are an abject disaster.
Absolutely.
They are an abject disaster.
That's what we want to hear.
Because our number one receiver is now a gentleman named Tyrell Williams.
Who?
Exactly.
Where'd he play?
No clue. I have no clue where he played. Now, he's a solid number two. He ain't no number one. It's going to be another four-win year. It's going to be a long-ass year. It might not be a four-win year. I think it's going to be a three-win year. I think we're going to be 3-13.
How you don't know where your number one receiver played in college?
Because
you don't watch your team.
No, he wasn't supposed to be the number one.
Brother, you don't watch the preseason. You don't watch the regular season. And now we're seeing it.
He wasn't supposed to be the number one. He played this is why I don't know where he played in college, because he played at a place called Western Oregon University. I don't even think that's D1. So our starting receiver is a D2-ass alum. Well.
You should have seen the writing on the wall, John.
I know. I should have. But it was a bad weekend for me. Also, the Falcons stink. I had Matt
Ryan.
Yeah, they
were Super Bowl contenders. Only got three games outside of domes this year.
And that was one of them in the dome. That was in the dome, man.
He took one to the dome.
That was in the dome. I took one to the dome.
I mean,
did you
have any NFL take that came sort of kind of close to true this weekend? Anything for me?
Philly's offense looked good.
Oh, you could still make a case that they're going to win the division, like you said.
Yeah.
I guess that one is still hanging on by
a comeback from Philadelphia.
Thread. They had to come back. Deshaun Jackson looked like his old self.
They had to get back. They had to get 2011
so
Deshaun Jackson.
Philly's holding on. And, man, yeah, that feels like about it.
Yeah.
You toxic on the NFL of late.
Right now, just whatever I say, just do the opposite. Just do the opposite, okay?
Trubisky good.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. I thought Trubisky was good. Everything is going badly for me right now. But it'll come around, man. It'll come around. Let's give it 4 weeks. Let's let everybody knock off the preseason rust,
mm-hmm.
and then we'll be able to get a really
Talking
clear,
about my team on Friday.
Jason, we'll be able to get a clear picture by the NFL at about week four.
Now you fools got to come out and play the games. Tonight.
Unfortunately, that's going to be a bloodbath. That's going to be – take the Broncos. Put all your money on the Broncos, okay?
I can't wait to see it.
I'm not looking forward to the show tomorrow.
Get him, Fangio.
All right, we're going to come back. Bear Jones will join us. We will talk to him about college football. Luckily, I don't have many opinions about that. Bear Jones on the other side. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
This is Mike Norvell, head football coach at the University of Memphis, encouraging you to support a local business that supports our athletic department. And that business is Platinum Jewelers. It's where I shop, and for two reasons. First, it's close to campus, which is obviously convenient. But the other reason, and the main reason, is because Platinum Jewelers has the best quality and the best prices in the area. Platinum Jewelers specializes in custom engagement rings, wedding sets, eternity bands, pendants, necklaces, bracelets, earrings, basically anything you can imagine. They sell several brands of luxury watches, including pre-owned Rolexes. They buy men's and women's Rolex watches, and I'm not the only person connected to the Memphis football program who shops there. So does D'Angelo Williams, and so does Stephen Kaskowski. There are two locations in the Memphis area, one at 545 Perkins Extended, basically at Poplar and Perkins Extended. That's the one near our campus, just 2 miles away. They have a new location at 9387 Poplar Avenue in Germantown. So where are you going next time you need to purchase jewelry for any occasion? The answer should be Platinum Jewelers, a proud sponsor of the University of Memphis. Check them out on Facebook, Twitter, and also the web at PlatinumJewelers.com.
I've got goals and a plan to reach them, and I won't let anything keep me from moving forward. That's why I signed up for My City Rides. For just $90 a month, I can lease to own a brand new motor scooter that gets me to school, work, and anywhere else I want to go. That's cheaper than a car payment, and that includes my gear and preventive maintenance. My City Rides taught me how to ride safely, and if something goes wrong with my scooter, they help me get back on the road quickly. No more waiting around on my ride or the bus. Now I'm in control of my day. Learn how you can get started at MyCityRides.org.
When was the last time you treated yourself to a night out? Don't you deserve one? Have you thought about Restaurant Iris? You've always known it to be a special occasion location, and that hasn't changed. But did you know they now have a full bar that you don't need reservations for? Any night of the week, sit down to delicious and unique dishes, small and large, prepared by our world-class chefs. Pair seasonal snacks with specialty cocktails. Memphis is ready for an elegant place to have a casual night out. I'll meet you at the bar at Iris.
Tuesdays are the worst. They're all that stands between you and the downhill part of the week. But now they're a lot less worse, because Wing Tuesdays at B-Dubs are buy one, get one free traditional wings. So Monday, you may kick off the week. Wednesday, you may have a cool nickname. Thursday, you might be the almost weekend, but watch your back, because Tuesdays just officially became Wing Tuesdays. Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar!
Buy one traditional wings order and get one of equal value free. Participation and promotional details vary by location. Check in with your favorite Buffalo Wild Wings to learn more about this offer.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical, not for sale to minors. Website restricted to adults 21 and over.
Let's be real. Most smokers aren't looking for some overcomplicated vaping machine. That's why we created MyBlu. MyBlu is simple. Our pre-filled liquid pods mean there's no mess. One charge and MyBlu lasts all day. And with our range of flavors and nicotine options, you have a choice. MyBlu answers on what matters for smokers. Real nicotine satisfaction. And right now, try MyBlu for $1 at select retailers or MyBlu.com.
Feeling cramped in your current home? Orion's team of mortgage experts know how to make your home buying process simple. Visit OrionFCU.com and get moving today. Orion is an equal housing lender.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It was yet another very interesting college football weekend. Barrett Jones is on the call for USC Stanford. He's a college football analyst for ESPN, and he joins us now. Barrett, what's going on?
What's up, guys? There was so much footballing this weekend. Oh, my goodness. I'd missed it. You know, I mean, it was one thing to get college back, but then when you get college and the NFL, it's just a great weekend.
Tennessee is 0-2 for the first time since the late 80s. It felt like, you know, from a logical standpoint, to lose the home opener to Georgia State, there was no way they were going to do it again. Yet there they do it again. They have a 99.9% win probability, you know, really late in the game, and end up finding a way to blow it. What can you say about Tennessee and the situation there?
Oh, well, first of all, I feel for them. I mean, the agony and misery of Tennessee fans. I mean, it's hard to watch. And you know, I love Jeremy Pruitt. He was there when I was at Alabama, and so I hate it for him. And obviously, it's a really tough situation right now. And, you know, I had several Tennessee fans that I talked to last week who just all said basically the same thing, just searching for positives that they weren't sure could get worse. And then somehow it seemingly got worse. So it's definitely a bad situation. And, look, I think there's a lot of things moving in a positive direction as far as recruiting classes, players they have coming in. Certainly was a challenging rebuild job, but it's just hard to lose games like that repeatedly and find a way to keep your job. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. It's going to be very interesting to see how it all pans out, but it's certainly not good.
Are the people you talk to, the fans of the programs, the folks you know, or do they want his head? Do they say, oh, it must end with him? The folks that are connected to the program, or, you know, it looks like they're going to start 1-6, Barrett. If they get it turned around with the South Carolina, the UABs, you know, get that thing to whatever, you know, 6-6 or whatever, can Pruitt save it?
Yeah, I mean, I think he definitely can. I mean, I think most fans acknowledge it's much more than just him. Obviously, you know, we talked about just how bare the cupboard was. I've never seen an offensive line last year or this year, which is a big reason why they're playing so many young guys, with so little pieces. I mean, that's a huge part of really both lines. We're just decimated by really a lack of talent, I think. Now they have a ton of young guys in there that are playing, and it's showing in a big way. And Garantano has not been good. Look, no one's really been good. It's just been a nightmare all the way around. And, you know, the defense was terrible in the first game, a little better maybe in this game, you could say. But I don't know, man. And just from a player standpoint, it's just so deflating to – have two games in a row like this and to have so many people talking about you. That's the guys that really feel bad for us, because those guys, I'm sure, are receiving a lot of criticism, and it's just no fun. It's no fun when you have situations like this. I've been in similar situations maybe in the NFL, but maybe not quite to this extent, because this is pretty tough days.
Do you still think they can attract like a good coach? Like, do you think there is a quote unquote quality guy out there that would take that job in 2019 or 2020 or whenever that day comes?
Well, it's a great question, and you know, I think you look at you look at just nationally and different brands of schools, and people are always talking about this job and that job. And, you know, to me, I kind of think Tennessee's a tough job, and maybe that's an unpopular opinion, but, you know, you look at geographically, there's some challenges that present themselves. You know, not a ton of guys out of the state of Tennessee in general. Memphis really is a free-for-all. You can just remove that. It's about 6 hours away. So you have to kind of recruit nationally. And for a long time, Philip Fulmer did it. He recruited all around the country and turned Tennessee into a brand. But, man, it's just with so many different really, really good teams surrounding you, whether it's Georgia or, you know, there's obviously three different teams in Florida, Alabama and Auburn and Alabama. I mean, it's just – it's hard to find just a ton of players out there who to recruit for Tennessee, I think. I think that's what makes it a hard job. To me, I've always said it. This is kind of an aside, but I think Georgia, to me, is the best job. You got all the money in the world. You have one of the most talent – one of the most talent-rich states, probably the third or fourth most talent-rich state, and you're really the only show in town. I know there's Georgia Tech now. They don't win the triple option, but still – they're not in the same class recruiting as Georgia. So that to me is that's a golden job right there that somehow Kirby Smart found his way into. So anyway, I think Tennessee's a tough job, and I don't think they'll, you know, get a top level, you know, coach, maybe some like a John Gruden type like I thought they were going to get last time. But I think they still could get a young coach who could kind of grow into the program and create a lot of excitement. Look, people around Tennessee love football, and they want to be good, and they'll commit to it if they feel like it's heading in the right direction. And so there still are a lot of pieces in place where they could be a successful program.
Hey, game you were at, at any point, or Stanford's up 17-3 in that game, did you expect to see a true freshman quarterback in Keaton Slovis lead USC back? And can he sort of save Clay Helton, who we've all felt like is on the hot seat out of USC?
Yeah, I know most people were probably asleep during my game this past week because it didn't start, I think, till 9:30 Central. That was tough. Even my own wife texted me at halftime and said that she hoped they had a good second half. So I get it. But Keaton Slovis was extremely impressive.
Yes, he was.
Daniels, USC starting quarterback, went down last week with a torn ACL, and in comes a true freshman Keaton Slovis, who no one had ever heard of, a 3-star guy. And he lit it up. I mean, they were down 73, like you said. And from that point on, I think they went on a something like a 42-3 run. And it was incredible. It was absolutely incredible what they were able to accomplish. And this offense under Graham Harrell, who was, if you remember that name, he was a former quarterback under Mike Leach. He was a North Texas offensive coordinator last year. They look really good. And they've kind of got it rolling over there right now. It's kind of a spread air raid with a little bit of more of a run game mixed in, and I like it. I think it's I think they're going to surprise some people this year. Now, you know, you have a freshman, so with the good times probably comes some inconsistencies too.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely think there was a lot of excitement, and it's certainly Clay Helton needed this if he wants to keep his job this year.
We are, of course, talking to Barrett Jones, college football analyst for ESPN, proud graduate of Alabama. LSU, after a very impressive win on the road, moves up to number 4 after the win against Texas. You know, I think when Ed Orgeron got the job, it was mostly met with universal, you know, joking. You know, everybody thought this guy was going to be fired maybe after a year. It turns out LSU is good. I mean, the offense is better, you know, and they look like a real program. Are you surprised by this?
Well, I think we just need to take a moment for a second and just let it sink in that an LSU quarterback threw for 471 yards.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, if I had told you that 3 years ago, you would have laughed me out of the room. I mean, 471 yards. I don't care who it's against. I mean, that's incredible. And not to mention it was against a top 10 team.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow was great. I mean, he had some moments where he made some mistakes, but he's out there just slinging it. And I'm all about it. I love seeing it. It was fun to watch. It was a great game. I think, you know, Tom Herman and Texas, they're on their way as well. But, man, LSU looks like a pretty good team. In fact, I was a little surprised that, you know, that if anything, the defense didn't play as well as I expected. But it didn't even matter because Joe Burrow just kept putting points up on the board again. And they were unstoppable on offense there for a few stretches. So, Joe Brady, obviously, coming in from the Saints, has made a huge difference with that offense. It looks different. We've heard the promise many times that, look, this year will be different. The offense, we're finally going to open it up. We've probably heard that 5 or 6 times, right, at LSU, yep. Where under Miles we heard that. It's finally come true, right? It finally looks a lot different. And I think Joe Burrow, in some ways, you know, is now starting to get the national attention that he deserves, because he's a big reason, and that's a big reason why they weren't able to do it, is it looks a lot easier when you have a guy who's back there slinging it. And he's unafraid. As you can see, he's got a bunch of confidence, waving at the crowd goodbye. You might have seen that.
Yep.
He's definitely playing with some kind of swagger right now. Swagger can help you out when you're playing quarterback. Didn't work out so well for Baker Mayfield this weekend against the Titans, but it's worked out pretty well for a lot of other guys, and he's playing with a lot of confidence. And, look, I love it. I love it. It's fun to watch, and I can't wait. We're going to have some epic showdowns in SEC West this year. Obviously, that LSU-Alabama game is looking more and more enticing with each week that passes.
That, you take me right into it. Is that when we finally learn something against Alabama, or do you think we'll possibly learn something about them when they go to Texas A&M in October? I look at that schedule. They've mollywopped what Duke and New Mexico State. I feel like, you know, we haven't learned anything that we didn't know about them this preseason. Obviously the schedule. Do we finally learn about them against LSU, or do you expect Texas A&M to be a test?
Not really. Honestly, not after what I saw against Clemson. I was a little disappointed with A&M. And, you know, Kellen Mond, I thought he was wildly inaccurate.
He was.
You know, I know he was cramping, which that's a whole – I don't want to be overcritical, but, I mean, I don't understand how you're cramping in the second quarter. I mean, I know it's hot, but that's you got to be a little better prepared than that. But that's just my opinion. I have no idea. Maybe he drank all the water in the world and it just happened somehow. But, I don't think there'll be a huge issue for them. I think they'll roll over it. And, yes, I do think it won't be really till November where we find out exactly who Alabama is. They have LSU, obviously, and then that Auburn game could be challenging. But, the schedule, the way it sets up this year, and I do not expect there to be a whole lot of challenges before that LSU game. I kind of agree with you. Now, LSU, they do have some challenges. They do have some tougher games. In fact, I'm going to be calling the Auburn game in October, so – I'll be looking forward to calling that game, and I think we'll find out a little more about them as the season goes on. But, you know, I love great matchups, and, I know that as a Alabama fan, I was taught to just root against everyone except for Alabama. But I hope all those teams are undefeated and we get to see some great big clashes. That's what I love. I love these big games with elite teams. And so I kind of hope it sets up as a another, you know, huge, not maybe not quite the game of the century again, but another big time game that gets some big time attention.
Barrett, was there a part of you deep down that enjoyed watching Baker Mayfield get sacked 5 times, throw 3 picks?
There's no doubt. I mean, mm-hmm. The Titans are a local team too, so, you know, mildly root for them. But I go back and forth on Baker Mayfield. Okay, I started out as a true Baker Mayfield hater. I was not about him. Then I saw him play a few times. And I called one of his games, called the Big 12 championship game against Oklahoma against TCU, and I was blown away just how good he was. And really, the guy, he doesn't get enough credit for how well he understands the game, how mm-hmm. he studies. I mean, he has a great grasp of the offense. And so I thought after that game he'd be the number one pick, and sure enough he was, because he was very impressive. Now, I'm not really about his antics. You guys know me. It's kind of the antithesis in a lot of ways. It's sort of, I guess, how I want to act and do. But, he's got his own little deal going, and I think they went a little too far. I mean, the Browns in general, I mean, this is just so predictable, right? I mean, the Browns have been terrible for a long time. All of a sudden, now they're going to win the Super Bowl, and right. This happens. So,
and they come out and
it's a bizarre situation. I think they'll stabilize, and I said the whole time I think they'll go 8-8 or 9-7 and be a solid team, but I don't see them making a whole lot of noise. They got a long way to go.
Speaking of antics, have you ever in your career had a teammate as ridiculous as Antonio Brown?
Hmm.
Where do you even start with this whole deal? I mean,
I don't know.
Second there was an update, the YouTube, stuff, and now. Which, I mean, everyone kind of suspected that there was some type of contrived effort on his part, because, who just has cameramen sitting around taping conversations and, you know, taping your reaction to things. I mean, I know I don't have any cameramen in my house doing that. So, I think there was, you know, you kind of started to get the idea that, like, this is on purpose.
This was orchestrated.
I get that Antonio Brown, like, thinks he won. But I heard Joe Testor say this on the radio this morning on the show with Trey Wingo and Mike Golic. And I did he really win as a man? Like, I mean, just with your kids and just as far as, like, his reputation and who he is.
Right.
I mean, he just made it abundantly clear that it's really just all about him. And it is very frustrating. I can't wait to see just kind of how it works out with the Patriots. I mean, you know, I'm sure they always find a way with Randy Moss, Corey Dillon, those kind of guys, to just turn them into model citizens. So maybe they'll do it again. But it's a bizarre deal to me. And, you know, I'm a big believer in reputation and understanding that you're impacting other people and the way you're acting. And to me, it's just been absolutely ridiculous, and it's frustrating. And I know that you know, the NFL is welcoming some soap operas. That's what's made the NBA successful in a lot of ways over these past few years. But, man, this is just I hate it. I hate the whole deal, and I think it's frustrating. Maybe, you know, you can call me the get-off-my-lawn guy, I guess, but
yeah,
that's what I am in this case, because it drives me nuts, and I hate to see anyone act that way. And, look, say what you want. It's going to be hard for him to come out on the winning side money-wise. I know he thinks this is a win.
Right.
But, man, he forfeited, what, $30 million guaranteed, but probably $45 million. I think
exactly.
Everyone pretty much expected him to play over the next 3 years, and that's $45 million.
No question.
He's going to have to play some good football to recoup that money.
Yes, he is. And I would just say, to the point, you know, because there are some conspiracy theories out there, like as if he never wanted to play for the Raiders and that he was always trying to get to the Patriots, even from day one. I think we're giving him too much credit. I mean, this is, after all, a guy who stepped into a cryo chamber with no socks on. You know, so I think we're giving him just a little bit too much credit in terms of, like, the long con. I don't think he's capable of that by the end. Yes, but I don't think it was the plan from day one. I don't think he's got enough up there.
I totally agree. I think it was not a long con. It was a situation where he maybe had a passing thought in Pittsburgh of, like, oh, I want to go play for New England. Like, and they were like, no chance we're going to trade you to New England.
Yep.
He traded in the Raiders. He got unhappy again. He was like, hey, I want to play for New England again. How can I do that? Well, I'll just start acting ridiculous and get cut and released.
Yep.
I mean, it's just the whole thing is so bizarre. I mean, at some point it became so obvious that he no longer – I mean, just when he – every time, like, the Raiders kept extending a ridiculous amount of olive branches, right, where it's like,
yep,
what are they doing? Like, still he's going to play on Monday somehow. And then to wiretap your coach. I mean, that's a whole new level when you wiretap your coach, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and Gruden laughed it off, and he's like, ah, it's fine. And yet still, I mean, just the whole thing is so bizarre. I guarantee you, if he wiretaps Belichick, he will be out of there in a heartbeat. So he will not play that. And in fact, I doubt him and Belichick will be talking on the phone a whole lot anyway. But it's just a bizarre deal to wiretap your coach. That's a whole new level.
Barrett, if the cameras were at your home, just a regular weeknight, what would we see in the Jones household?
Oh, you'd see a lot of excitement, man. It's,
yeah.
Come home and have dinner with my wife and, you know, maybe watch a few episodes of Madam Secretary. That's kind of a third show on Netflix right now. And, you know, maybe
great.
Occasionally play some board games or something. I mean, we're pretty lame. So other than my studying and doing work, you know, and that kind of stuff, that's when I'm not traveling and moving around, it's a pretty low-key lifestyle in the Jones household.
Barrett, you're the best, man. Appreciate
you,
the time,
brother.
As always.
Great stuff.
All right, guys. Always fun. Thanks.
Yep. He is Barrett Jones, college football analyst for ESPN, three-time national champion at Alabama. Yeah, it's one of those deals, right? I would imagine he probably didn't run into too many Antonio Brown types at Alabama because Nick Saban just doesn't tolerate it.
You fall in line in Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, Antonio Brown types get cut.
No doubt. You know.
They transfer out of there.
They absolutely do. They go to FAU. With Lane Kiffin, you know, that's where they end up. All right, we will come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Brett McMurphy going to join us at 1:25. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Football season is finally here, so you're going to be tailgating on the weekends or attending watch parties or just sitting on your couch taking it all in. And if you're like me, Gary Parrish, you might want to enjoy doing that with a drink. And if you want to drink what I drink, get a bottle of New Amsterdam Vodka. New Amsterdam Vodka, it's a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness. Filtered 3 times to create create a soft finish, as you surely know by now. It is so smooth you can drink it straight. And yes, it's an awesome vodka that's reasonably priced, which is among the reasons it's the fastest growing brand of vodka in the United States of America. If you're into flavored vodkas, New Amsterdam offers a variety. The newest is grapefruit, but they also have apple, peach, orange, mango, pineapple, red berry, coconut, lemon, and raspberry. And check this out. New Amsterdam also has a gluten-free vodka. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, that's the vodka for you. Please ask for it by name next time you're in a bar, restaurant, or liquor store. New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com.
Regions wants to know, what's a financial tip you give your younger self?
Good tattoos aren't cheap. Cheap tattoos aren't good.
You can give a girl your heart, just don't give her your PIN number.
When it comes to managing your money, there's no one way. There's only your way. And Regions award-winning service can help you find it. Instead of one-size-fits-all solutions, we make it easy to handle your money according to your own unique priorities and perspectives. So you can feel more in control today and more prepared for tomorrow, all with the kind of financial clarity your younger self could only dream of.
It's okay if she makes more money than you. Actually, it's pretty cool.
Because we get it. Some things are bigger than banking. Ready to make a financial choice your future self will thank you for? Switch for good. Regions has the people, tools, and tech to move you forward. Learn more at regions.com/biggerthanbanking. Regions, member FDIC.
Howie, Robert Irwin Jewelers is the number one engagement ring store. Why is that?
We know what needs to happen. Two things. Number one, she wants to show off the ring after she gets it to her family and friends, and she wants them to ooh and ah over it. And they will. The second thing that needs to happen is he needs to be able to get down on one knee confidently, pop open the box, and know she's going to say yes, and then she's going to be in love with the ring. And that happens also, so we've got you covered.
Makes sense, Howie.
Huge bridal sale going on right now at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Free financing, 4 locations. See us online at rijewelers.com.
Ready to get away to a place that's uniquely magical? Then enter for a chance to win a uniquely Orlando sweepstakes. Go to visitorlando.com and enter to win an Orlando vacation, including a 4-night hotel, theme park tickets, and more. Enter at visitorlando.com/trip.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients.
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis's Sports Station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You're creeping up on lunchtime. For some of us, it already is. My stomach's growling. I don't know about you. Why don't you head on over to the Wing Guru, where it's all happening, 5699 Mount Moriah, 7199 Stage Road, and soon, very soon, South Haven. Matter of fact, within about 45 days, you'll be getting your Wing Guru. Billy Richmond's blowing up. The former Tiger basketball player is now the Chicken House King in Memphis. He's got the best wings, party hole, boneless, however you like your wings, and he does them with the best premium flavors. That's why he's blowing up, John.
Congratulations to the good folks of Mississippi, because now they are going to get to experience the delight and the treat that is the Wing Guru. Especially those premium flavors, man. That's the biggest part of it. Honey Suicide, Garlic Sriracha, Spicy Taco, 901 Nashville Hot. Oh, it's amazing, Mississippi. You're going to love it.
Going to be touched by an angel, Mississippi. And don't worry about it, Hernando, because soon after, you're getting one. And then Dallas, you're getting one. Not just going to make this a Tennessee-Mississippi thing. Billy's blowing up. And you guys know why. Grateful to you listeners for listening to us and going. And then Billy does the rest, doesn't he, John Martin, with that fantastic chick. But it's not always the wings. You can go for his gourmet burgers. You can go for his fried okra, his catfish. It is all good over at the Wing Guru again. 5699 Mount Moriah, 7199 Stage Road in South Haven. 45 days, you will have yours. When you see Billy Richmond, you please tell him that your boys Jason and John sent you.
Brett McMurphy is going to join us at 1:25. We will talk to him about college football. We will talk to him about everything that's going on in the weekend that was in college football. Jeremy Pruitt has said some interesting things. He's, of course, a coach at Tennessee for now.
Who knows how much longer that will be the case?
Don't lose to Chattanooga. And you should be all right.
Don't lose to BYU.
Well, you're right.
I mean, my God.
Saying, if he was going to get fired, you'd think it'd be they'd been doing the press conference already. Now, lose to Chattanooga, you might get fired immediately.
Well, I think the guy should. I mean, honestly, if you are Tennessee, I think it's obvious at this point that he is probably not the right guy. I mean, I know it's early.
I struggle with that. Because, again, it was different than Georgia State, which you should never lose to. But it was different in the sense that you weren't manhandled, which I thought they were going to be. That BYU team has got, you know, we talked about that point, and they got grown men. And you never got the feeling that they were overpowering Tennessee. For the most part, you know, Tennessee, especially with their running game, you know, controlled that football game. And so, anyway, if it had been more incompetence, John, like it looked in week one for Tennessee, then I'd say, oh, man, there's no way he gets you back. But, again, you saw the way Eric Gray was running the ball. Mm-hmm. Juwan Jennings, that's a Johnson earlier, because it got Juwan Johnson, that's a Memphis thing, got him on the mind. He, you know, two touchdown catches. He's an NFL receiver.
He is.
Like, you know what I'm saying? If you can get he changed the way you pronounce his name this year. Garantano is the way I used to pronounce it, but I think now it's Garantano or whichever way it is. You get a real quarterback in there, right, not just a game manager, which he pretty much is. I think Tennessee could maybe get back on track. I'm not ready to call it, you know, over for Pruitt. Because, again, I think you're going to end up going 1-6 here at best, you know, maybe 2-5. Maybe you beat Mississippi State. But there's an opportunity after that where the schedule eases up. Maybe you can get back to a respectable 6-6, and maybe there's light at the end of the tunnel. But, John, you lose to Chattanooga, and they're going to fire you the next day. I'm afraid they're going to have to.
Yes.
Because you're not going to be able to continue to
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.